All right, Revelation chapter number 7, again, is kind of our springboard tonight as we are getting back into God's Word. And so what we saw here in Revelation chapter 7 is we saw a multitude of people who have been saved, people who are in heaven there with the Lamb, praising the Lamb and glorifying the Lamb. Here we see tribulation saints who probably most of them were martyred there before the throne, praising the Lamb. The Bible says that of every tongue and every nation, all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Isn't that what mission's all about? That God is calling Himself a people out of every nation, out of every tongue, out of every tribe, out of every land. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, have the glorious opportunity to have a hand in this, to be used of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature, to our Jerusalem, to our Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now this morning we saw the value of one. We saw the value of one. Tonight, we are going to look at the other side of the coin. It is true that God places extraordinary value, an extraordinary emphasis on the individual. But this is only a part of the thrust of missions. And we understand it's got to be more than just that. You know, it's got to be more than just about me, right? It's got to be more than just about you. It's got to be more than just about your neighbor. It's got to be more just about the tribe over in the other country. It's got to be more than just about man. Because here it is, the greater truth, you might say the overarching truth, the preeminent truth that is found in all of these things is this. That it's not so much about the value of one, but rather about the glory of one. Now the idea of glory is this. It is a recognition. It is a magnification of the worth of someone or something. And I'm going to tell you, this is the answer. This is the reason for it all. And I'll warn you, I've already been the bearer of a lot of bad news tonight, okay? But you didn't walk out on me on the last one. I have 6 points tonight. Yeah. But really, one truth. One truth. Everything for the glory of God. Would you consider with me tonight, first of all, why is it all here? Why is this all here? We're going to start big and work our way in. Creation, what is it all about? God planned it. God purposed it. God brought it to pass, did He not? This, everything that we see, everything that we experience, all of nature, all of humanity, all of the materials and emotions and feelings and experience, all of it by God. But why? Why is this all here? You know what? The Bible teaches us that all of creation is here for the glory of one. It's here for the glory of God. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 1, in verse number 16, He says, "For by Him," speaking of Jesus, "were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him." And what's that, church? For Him. That all things were created by Him and for Him. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the saints put it this way, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I'm going to tell you what, if we'd stop right there and realize that this life wasn't given to me for my fun, that this life wasn't given to me for my notions, for my hobbies, for my enjoyment. Now, we understand that every good thing cometh down from above, right? From the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of variableness or shadow of turning. We understand that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in him, that the Lord will withhold no good thing from the man that walks uprightly. But you know what? This life is not about you having fun. This life is not about you experiencing things. This life is not about you broadening your horizons. This life is not about you achieving some status or some standard of living. This life, this world, is all about the glory of God. Why is all of this here? The glory of God. So we see why all of this is here. Well, we have to ask. Okay, then, well, why am I here? You know, this speaks to my purpose. My purpose is important to understand because purpose gives meaning to life. Why am I here? You know, I don't know all of your stories. I don't know where you came from. I don't know your experiences and your upbringing and all of your triumphs and all of your tragedies. But I do know why you're here. You are here on this earth to glorify God. And by the way, you will glorify God. Did you know that? The saints glorify God. Amen. God said in Isaiah chapter number 47, or 43 in verse number 7, He said, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And so those that are called by his name, why are you here, Christian? You are here for his glory. You are here for his glory. You know God and his sovereign plan. Now God, understand this, did not ordain sin. God did not cause sin. God is not the origin of sin. But you know that our God is big enough even to use the wicked for his glory. Now some of you aren't going to like this, but I want you to see something. Proverbs chapter 16 in verse number 4. The Bible says, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse number 22. He said, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory." We understand that, you know what? The saints will glorify God. But even those in verse number 22 that have fitted themselves for destruction. And by the way, no man goes to hell because he had to. He goes to hell because he chose to. So even these men who snub their nose at God and say there is no God, and the Bible says, put verse 22 back up if you could, fit themselves for destruction. It's a part of God's process and God's plan, verse 23, to make known his glory. I'm going to tell you, saints, we're going to glorify God. Lost sinner, you're going to glorify God. Can I tell you this? Everyone will glorify God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9 tells us explicitly, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus," what's that next word? "Every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth." And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The saints will glorify Him. The lost sinners will glorify Him. Everyone and everything that has ever been created will glorify God. Hey, it's not a question about whether or not you will bow. It's a question of when. Why am I here? Why am I here? You are here to glorify God. It's that simple. Hey, church, why is all of this here? Why is it? It's here, why? Why am I here? Why are you here? We are all here for one purpose, to glorify God. Well, it makes me wonder, where am I headed? You know, all this is here, okay, and this is why I'm here, but where am I headed? You know, this addresses the issue of destiny. Where am I, the child of God, going to end up? You know, it only makes sense, of course, that I be positionally and practically prepared for my destination. What is it that I am going to be doing for all of eternity? Anybody care to wager a guess? Ooh, we got some people. Okay, maybe we can skip the other 3 points. What do you think? Glorify God. You know, you read the book of Revelation, and you know what you see when you see the saints in heaven? Every time you see the saints in heaven, do you know what they're doing? They're glorifying God. They're praising God. They're lifting their voices to the Lamb upon the throne. They're singing His songs. I tell you what, heaven is a place of praise and glory. Where am I headed? I am headed to glorify God. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And the 4 and 20 elders, I believe that they represent all of the redeemed from the Old and New Testament, fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You go one chapter over to chapter 5, beginning in verse number 12. It says this, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Hey, where are we headed? I'm headed to glorify God. And you know what? I can say this with the utmost confidence, that when we've been there 10,000 years, we will have not even have begun to tire, to weaken. You know, sometimes it's so easy to get distracted here on earth. How many of you sometimes you try to pray and then you find yourself thinking about what you had to eat last night or what you're going to get to eat tonight? That's, you know, I'm generally looking ahead to my meals. It's so easy to get distracted. But you know, 10,000 years in, 10 million years in, we will be glorifying the Lamb. And we will have only just begun. Why is this all here? Church, why? Why is this all here? For the glory of God. Why am I here? For the glory of God. Where am I headed? Why did Jesus save me? Why did Jesus save me? I'm going to tell you, yes, Jesus died for me. And Jesus died for you. And Jesus came and died out of love. And I do believe, like the song says, that while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. But you know, there's a really important aspect to the cross that we don't talk about. You know, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus saved me to glorify the Father. As he prepared to go to the cross, John chapter 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, one of the most intimate moments of Jesus' ministry, as he poured out his heart to the Father in prayer, he said this, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son." Why? "That thy Son also may glorify thee." Can I tell you, John 17, 1 is why he could say in the garden later, "Not my will, but thine be done." Do you know why Jesus died on the cross? Jesus died on the cross to the glory of God. Why is this all here? Well, it's for the glory of God. Why am I here? Well, I'm here for the Where am I headed? What am I going to be doing for all of eternity? Well, I'm going to be glorifying God. Why did Jesus save me? To glorify God. Why am I still here? Why am I still here? You ever thought about that? Why am I here? So I'm saved, and I'm still here. Wouldn't heaven be a better option? I mean, let's just be honest. The longer I live, the more I see all of the things that my youth promised me were lies. Were lies. Oh, my youth promised me so many things. And yet here I am at 30 whatever. 32? 32. She keeps me straight. And I already see that they were empty lies. I was talking to somebody tonight, and we were talking about some things and some appointments and some procedures upcoming, and the person looked at me and said, "Huh, aren't you looking forward to getting where I am?" "No." "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Why am I still here?" Heaven would be the better option. And yet God has left us here. God has left us here to serve. God has left us here sometimes to suffer. Suffering really in the Christian life is a gift from God. But why? Why am I still here? Now be careful, because I have heard many a preacher and many a well-meaning and sincere preacher say that the reason you are still here is to reach others for the cause of Christ. And I will tell you that is a reason, but be careful, because that is not the reason. That is not the reason. You think about all the things that you have going on in your life, whether, you know, I looked at my own life and thought about the idea that I pastor and I parent and I'm a spouse and I teach and I coach. And what does it all mean, and how does it all work, and what is the point? Why am I here? Can I sum it all up for you? Why you are still here? Why God woke you up this morning? Why God gave you strength to come back to church tonight? Why God gave you breath to sing? Why God's going to give you strength to walk out those doors and you're show up at work tomorrow? Can I tell you why you're here? Let's sum it all up. You're here to glorify God. Amen. That's why you're here. It is as simple and profound as that. Ephesians 1 and verse number 12 puts it this way, that we, speaking of those who've been adopted, should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, what about the way God works in our lives? Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Now pause it right here, Charlie. "According to the power that worketh..." We love that verse, don't we? Now, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I would ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Woo! Let's name it, claim it. I'm going to write that on the wall. I'm going to put that on the note card and put it in my pocket. And I'm going to have a great week. Do you know why Ephesians 3:20 is there? Do you know why he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us? You got to read verse 21 to see that. Now unto him be glory. You know why God works in your life? Do you know why God answers your prayers? Do you know why God gives you opportunities, that God opens doors? Do you know why God gives you children and grandchildren? You know why God gives you influence and opportunity? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's for his glory. You know, Wednesday nights we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Finished that up a week or so ago. Do you know why spiritual fruit is produced in our lives and through our lives through the Holy Spirit of God? Philippians 1 verse 11 tells us that. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. In case you were wondering, Colossians 3:23 just puts it this way. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. And in case you were curious, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, things would change if we sat down at the dinner table for the sole purpose of glorifying God. I'm generally there to stuff my face. I'm going to tell you, things would change if we laid down at night to get the sleep that we needed so that we could glorify God with the life that he'd given us. I'm going to tell you, things would change if we looked at every interaction with our kids and grandkids and those that God has given us influence and opportunity with. Things would change if we looked at every opportunity, not just as time with them or trying to find some way to get them out of the way so that I can get the job done, but as an opportunity to glorify God. Do you know why you're still here? Do you know why you're still here? You're here to glorify God. Now, I'm going to tell you, this sermon could have had 700 points. Because I could have asked, why does God give us kids as parents? And the one answer would be to, I could ask you why God gave you the job that he's given you. And the one answer would be to glorify God. I could ask you why God has even given you the car that he's given you. And the answer would be to glorify God. I could ask you why God gave you the house that he gave you by the neighbors that he's given you. And the one answer would be so that you could glorify God. We could have had 700 points tonight, but I chose 6. And all God's people said, amen. And so we look here. Why the Great Commission? Hold on now, stay dialed in. Why the Great Commission? You know, we do honor God by obeying his commands. Amen? And the Great Commission is a command, not a suggestion. I think we need to be more on board with that. It's not the great suggestion, it's the Great Commission. We are commanded to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. You know what? We honor God when we obey his commands. And we honor God when we stress what he stresses. And we saw this morning that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And oh, that more voices were joined together in the house of God and in the body of Christ and around the throne. But I'm going to tell you this. Your fulfillment of the Great Commission is less about them and more about him. Say with me. It is less about them, and it's more about Him. First off, God's the one that saves people. You know, you can, if you're a salesman, you can trick somebody into saying just about anything. You can. I've seen well-meaning Christians back people into a corner where they feel like the only way out is to say a sinner's prayer. That's not salvation, by the way. You're not the one that saves them. You know, there is absolutely zero pressure when Pastor Belcher's at the fair for Pastor Belcher to have somebody get saved. There is absolutely zero pressure when Brother Kaufman's out knocking on a door for one of those people to have to get saved. Because you know what? We sow and some of us water, but according to 1 Corinthians 3:7, it is God and God alone who gives the increase. First off, God is the one who saves people. Your fulfillment of the Great Commission is less about them and more about Him. Let me ask you this. What if you can't go? What if you can't go? How many of us would say there have been times in our lives where we haven't been able to go? Some of us, even in our physical condition tonight, may say, you know what? The opportunity that I have had to actually go and to do and to be out and to exert myself in the highways and the hedges, compelling them to come in, I just can't physically do that anymore. Well, what if you can't go? Let me ask you, are you a failure? Because if it's about them and you can't go, are you a failure? Let me ask you this. What if you can't give very much? You know, you think, you look at our goal for this year for missions, and we think $90,000. I don't have anything that can make a dent in that. I remember my first time doing Faith Promise here, and we had the goal, and I had what I was going to give, and I'm a very analytical person, so I found what percentage my Faith Promise made up of the total. And then I was really depressed. What if you say, I can give maybe like the two mites, like the widow, but I really can't give enough that'll even make a dent towards the goal. Let me ask you, if you can't go, are you a failure? If you can't give, are you a failure? What if they don't come? What if they don't come? What if you go knock on hundreds of doors and nobody comes? What if one of our missionaries, for instance, we got one that's going to England. England's a very cold field. What if they labor over there for 20 years and after 20 years they have a church of 30 or 40 people? 20 years. You know what? They've talked to hundreds and thousands and for whatever reason they just wouldn't come. What if they won't come? Does that make us a failure? No, it doesn't. Because ultimately, the Great Commission isn't about them. It's about Him. And as we approach Missions Conference, it's about Him. And I go and I serve and I tell people and I give out gospel tracts. Why? For the glory of God. And you know what? I'm going to give and I'm going to pray, God, what can I give this year? God, I don't want to see how much I can keep. God, I want to know how much I can give. Not so I can say, look how much I have done. And this is how big of a dent I made in the total. No, I'm going to give whatever it is God leads me to give for His glory. For His glory. And I'm going to tell you, if it's for His glory, you're going to give. If it's for His glory, we're going to be faithful and let Him give the increase. You know what? There are a lot of things that you can't control. But you know what you can always do? in sickness and in health and in riches and in great poverty, in times of abundance and times of scarcity, do you know what you can always do? You can always glorify God. And here's the great thing. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what's going to happen? That He's going to draw men to Him. Amen. And that's the Great Commission, folks. What's it all about? Can I ask you tonight, why is all of this here? Why is all of this here? Simply why? For the? Why am I here? Simply for the? Why? Where am I headed? I'm headed for the glory of God. Why did Jesus save me? He saved me for the glory of God. Why am I still here today? For the glory. And what about the Great Commission? What about the Great Commission? It is for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what, if you're not living for the glory of God, what are you living for? I'm going to tell you, if you don't marriage for the glory of God, and you don't parent for the glory of God, and you don't work for the glory of God, and you don't serve for the glory of God, and young people, you don't school for the glory of God, if we don't live for the glory of God, if we don't give for the glory of God, then why are we doing it? You know, a lot of us do it because we feel like we have to. We feel compelled. For one reason or another, life has put us in a position where this is what we just have to do. Poppycock. That's the fear of man. Fear of man brings a snare. It's misery. I don't do what we do because we have to. We do what we do because we get to for God's glory. You know, you do it for money? Do you do it for the job? Health and wealth will fly away. Do you do it because it's advantageous? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're up for sale, Satan will always give you a better offer. Right. If you don't do it for the glory of God, then why do you do what you do? You know, I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of frustrated, fed up people, Christians included, because no matter how hard they try, they always end up empty, sad, alone. And I'm going to tell you, to live your life or to approach missions or faith promise for any other reason than the glory of one is to miss the heart of the matter and to neglect your purpose. You can try your way and you can try your reasons, but the square peg will never fit and the round hole. Now, I brought this because I was afraid some of you might not believe me. And I can take my squarish peg and I can look at the roundish hole and I can hit it and I can push it. I can turn it this way and I can slam it that way. And you know what? I can live because it's what mom and dad make me do. And I can live because I just don't need the flack from the other church people if I do something else. And I can live because I'll get more money from it, or I'll get a better position from it, or it's just not worth the trouble to do anything about it right now. I can live for all sorts of reasons, but if I'm not living for the reason I was created, I will always end up frustrated. I will always end up just angry and empty and sore. And you know what? A kid who tries to slam the squarish peg into the roundish hole for too long, do you know what he'll do? He'll say, this is dumb. I'm going to need that back. He'll say, that's dumb. Thank you. I say this as kind as I can. The toy's not dumb. The kid is. But how many people do we hear say, this life is dumb? This life doesn't make sense. This life is not fulfilling. This life doesn't work. I've tried and 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 I've tried. Can I tell you what you haven't tried? You haven't tried living what you were created to live. You haven't tried living for the glory of God, plus nothing, minus nothing. And when you live for what you were created for, what you'll find is you'll find everything else tends to fall right in place. What about the Great Commission? Why are we going to do what we do in a week and a half? For the glory of God. Could you stand with me tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed? I just feel in my spirit that tonight's a night where we need to take some time and prepare our hearts. We just need to take some time and seek the Lord on this matter. It is so easy to get drawn aside from what this is all about. Father, we love you.